Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did, because Myron Ebel is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Myron is a member of our Brain Trust and Director of Global Warming and International Environmental Policy at Competitive Enterprise Institute, an organization you've been hearing me talk about for a long time, probably pretty close to the beginning of the show, way back in 97, 98. So we've been introducing you to outstanding scholars and folks in that organization, including the president over there. But Myra is with us right now. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about the oil situation, the price of energy these days, and then we're going to talk a little bit about global warming. Myra, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Speaking of the new year, Myron, I've been saying for a couple of months now that I felt like 2008 was going to be the year where we lived the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. I think on many, many, many levels, 2008 is going to be the most interesting year. You may not like all of it, but it's going to be the most interesting year, maybe in my lifetime. What do you think, Myron?
I'm not going to be a prophet here. I'm going to defer to yours, Jim, and let's see how it turns out here.
what you're saying is you're going to whip out on me, Myra. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not going to make any predictions here.
Well, look at the political process going on right now. That's the most interesting thing we've seen in a long time in politics. We've got this global economic challenge. We literally have gone through a panic in the Asian markets over the weekend. We've had the U.S. has got its own challenges, and we got all these people trying to figure out what's wrong, what can we do to fix it, and oil prices have been, within the last 3 weeks, have been at a record high dollar wise, over $100 a barrel. I mean, that's a lot of excitement, and then of course you blend into that all of the what's become a religion for some people, and that's the global warming hysteria, so that's going to make this a pretty interesting year, I think. Let's talk about the energy thing. So far, Jim, your
predictions look pretty good. I mean, you're starting out in a big way here this year. Let's hope it gets less interesting as the year.
I hope so. I'm concerned though. But let's talk about the energy situation, Myron.
Yeah.
Petroleum, the only kind of bright spot of the week so far has been that crude oil prices have come down a little bit, haven't they?
Yes, but of course, I think, you know, people, when oil prices started to go up, and this goes back a couple of years now, in fact, it goes back about almost, 2.5 years when we had the big hurricanes, when they started to go up, and they've fluctuated quite a lot since then, people noted that the world economy and the U.S. economy seemed to be doing well even with high oil prices, which showed we weren't as dependent. The world economy is not as dependent upon petroleum as it once was. But I think now we've gotten to a point where they're high enough that they are affecting the world economy, and I think part of the slowdown and part of the jitters is due to high oil prices. Now, the other part of high oil prices is just the decline of the dollar. There has not actually been recently a steep an increase in oil prices. It's mostly been that the dollar has been declining. And people, if you're paying for oil in euros or pounds sterling or even some of the Asian currencies, you're not paying that much more than you were 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it is just the weakness of the dollar. I think the other thing is
Of course, Myron, that's cold comfort when you're filling up your Taurus for $60.
Yeah, when you're paying in dollars, that's cold comfort.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, of course, if the world economy is slowing down, if there is some kind of of I don't know whether it's just a little bit of slowdown or it's an actual world recession, then you'll see the price of oil decline rather dramatically, I think. So, you know, the good news about a world economic boom is, okay, you've got to have, you get high commodity prices, you get higher food prices, you get higher oil prices, but you also have plentiful times in a booming economy. Mm-hmm. You know, the bad news about oil prices going down now is it's probably a signal that the world economy is slowing down.
Slowing down a bit. What do you think is going to happen with oil prices? Do you think it's going to, do you think it's going to be more likely to go up or to go down over the next 6 months or so?
I'm not going to, I don't know. You know, I don't make predictions because I think the market is, every day summarizes the best amount of information we have. And I do think that for some time there has been a risk premium or a risk factor added into the price of oil. And I think there's also been some speculation.
The speculation, yeah. That's some people on my show, including Steve Forbes, has attributed as much as 25% of the price of oil to speculation.
Yeah, there has been a lot of
because of the turmoil, the unrest in the oil producing region.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that there's just one threat. If you look around the world, we have threats and we have problems in Venezuela.
Right.
Problems in Saudi Arabia, problems in Iran. So Nigeria has been had a problem with oil production. So I think there are all kinds of places where you could say, well, if any little thing goes wrong, the oil market will tighten considerably.
Right, like some fast boats circling one of our ships in the Straits of Hormuz, and that makes the oil prices spike. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But
right.
Are you hopeful, Myron, as you look at the technologies that are emerging, are you hopeful that over the next 10 or so years we're going to have any kind of reasonably productive and useful alternative energy?
Well, of course, the Congress has passed a bill in December that says thou shalt have alternative energy. We had a mandate in the 2005 bill to increase the use of ethyl alcohol from corn in blended gasoline. We now have a much expanded ethanol mandate, which I think is going to be very difficult to achieve, and I think it's going to raise the price of gasoline considerably and the price of food a lot.
I don't consider ethanol to be a reasonable alternative to carbon fuels in the future. I don't see that as one of the as something we're going to stick with. I think that's going to wind up being the Betamax of alternative fuels. Myron,
yes.
Stand by. We're going to be right back. When we come back with Myron Ebel, we're going to talk about global warming. What's the truth? What are the myths? Stay with us.
Hi, Jim. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, author of Talk Is Not Cheap at TalkListen.com. Congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Way to go, Jim. You did not stop at dreaming. You did it.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much hanging around with us. And by the way, Beverly is not related to our good friend Myron Ebel. Myron's our good friend and director of Global Warming and International Environmental Policy at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Myron, there is so much myth and floating around about and misinformation floating around about global warming. I've said for a long time, Myron, you've heard me say this before, that yes, I believe the Earth is warming. 10,000 years ago, Kentucky was under 5,000 feet of ice. Yes, the Earth is warming. Now, and I tell you what else, Myron. I believe that the humans probably are having an impact on the temperature of the Earth. But my argument is what do we do to fix that? You know, if we turn it into a religion instead of something that's, you know, based on facts and logic and reason. And that's when I think we have a chance of really hurting this marketplace that we've created. What do you think?
Well, I think you have a very reasonable position, Jim. You know, I think the question about global warming that needs to be asked at every step of the way towards this claim that from Al Gore and others that, you know, that we're destroying Mother Earth. at every step of the way, you need to ask the question, so what? Yes, the temperatures have gone up a little bit from what they were in, say, 1900 or 1950. Yes, human beings are probably responsible for that or for some of that. What have been the bad effects? This has been a time of tremendous human flourishing. Mm-hmm. We now seem to be in a period when this temperature rise that we had starting about 1976 has more or less flattened out. We had a peak in 1998, and we have been pretty flat and below that 1998 peak since
then. Well, we're certainly having a cold winter this year, I think.
Yeah.
By most measurements, is it not been a pretty cold winter?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, every part of the world's maybe different, but, you know, the fact is that global warming seems to have stalled in the last decade. The other thing is, what have been the effects? The effects have been fairly positive, I think, so far, beneficial. There have been some negatives, slight negatives, and some slight positives. And I think people, if you think about it, warm is better than cold. Cold kills a lot more people than warm heat does.
Right.
And the theory of global warming says that most of the warming will be in the upper latitudes, that is, towards the poles, places like from North Dakota on up,
right.
And most of it will be in the winter. That means instead of being 50 degrees below zero up in the Yukon or up in northern Canada, it'll only be 35 or 40 degrees below zero in North
Myron,
Dakota.
But Myron, what about the polar bears? we love our little cuddly polar bears.
Well, the polar bears have increased in population from about 5,000 to about 25,000 to 30,000.
Why are we talking about putting them on the endangered species list?
Because it's part of the political project.
It's part of the religion, right?
Well, it's part of the political project of the environmentalists. The polar bear listing under the Endangered Species Act is a regulatory loose cannon. It has unlimited powers potentially. It could potentially stop anything if the polar bear were listed. Because look, you go here where you live, and somebody wants to build a bridge to replace one that's worn out or been swept away in a flood. And the county planning commission is looking at it, and they're deciding whether to grant the permit. And somebody comes in and says, "Yeah, but that increased traffic will increase emissions, and that will increase global warming, and that will hurt the polar bear." And if the county planning commission ignores that and goes ahead and grants the permit, you're going to end up in federal court, and somebody, mm-hmm. some judge is going to be saying, "Hey, the Endangered Species Act has no limits.
Right.
We have to do everything."
Your comment about the polar bears, 5,000. It's gone from 5,000 to 25,000. Where is that information? Where can we find that? I mean, I believe you, but there might be people who don't. And so, where could people find that information?
Well, there are a number of websites that contain this information. I'm trying to think of one that has some good links where you can get to the actual polar bear experts.
Go ahead.
I think you could go to worldclimatereport.org, which is Pat Michael's website, and just type in polar bear. You will find the links you need to that shows. Pat has done some interesting analyses of the different. There are something like 19 separate polar bear populations are scattered around the polar region.
Right.
And I think he's shown that most of them are prospering, and the ones that are declining are in areas where it's getting colder, not warmer.
Myron, quickly, are you concerned that in order to strengthen his legacy, reaching out for anything President Bush is going to give in to the environmental, the religious global warming guys?
Well, his record over the past 7 years has been mixed. He's resisted regulation on the economy, having mandatory energy rationing policies. But on the other hand, the last 2 years, 2 years ago, he said, "Well, we're addicted to oil. We got to get off this stuff." And last year, he said, "We got to start using all this ethanol, even though it's going to raise the price of gasoline." Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm a little bit worried. But I guess there isn't a lot we can do. They're pretty secretive there in the White House. They're working away on next week's speech.
I'll try to find out for you and let you know. Hey, give us your website there, CEI.
It's simple, CEI.org.
Competitive Enterprise Institute, folks. A lot of good stuff there from a lot of folks, including Myron Ebel. Thanks, Myron, for being here. Good job today.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
See you next time. Quick break, 29 after the hour. I'm Jim Bison Game. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.